things that happen and situations that come that we don't understand. But boy, aren't you glad there's somebody that's there to help you through every one of those little stormy blasts, those little stormy things that happen. And, you know, again, sometimes I just don't get it. I don't know, why is this happening to me, Lord? Well, he said, you know better than anybody else. You know better than my servant Job. You're no better than those other men that have walked this way before you. So why should you be any more special than they? And I said, well, okay, I guess I'm not. So, amen. But we do. All of us question that. But then we realize, if you never had a storm, if you never had a problem in your life, you wouldn't know what your faith is made for. You'd have no idea that, well, you know, everything's just cruised right along. Everything's going good. And it's almost like, well, I don't even have to trust God. Oh, but when you get in those storms, when you get in those dark nights, when you get in those places, boy, then you've got to depend on Him. You've got to trust in God. And when you do that, and you pray, and you ask Him, and He brings you through it, then you realize, hey, I've got something with me. I've got somebody with me. And God is faithful. And hey, that's what those kind of things do for us. So take your Bibles tonight, if you would, though. We're going to look back in the book of Psalms. I know we've kind of lived there for a while, it seems like, bouncing back and forth and talking about some of the different things in the book of Psalms. But I want you to look with me, if you will, in Psalm number 4. Psalm number 4. It's probably been a good while since I have preached out of this, but it's still a good place to go. Psalm number 4. And, you know, we have, if you look at Psalm number 3, and we heard somebody this week preach on some of this out of Psalm number 3, or preach the entirety of Psalm number 3. But if you look at Psalm number 3 and look at verse number 5 in Psalm number 3, David says this. He said, I laid me down and slept. I awaked, for the Lord sustained me. And there's a lot of folks in writing and thinking and theology and scholars in the Bible, and they will tell you, and probably that's a good idea or a good thought, that Psalm number 3 is sometimes referred to as the morning psalm, a psalm of the morning. David says, hey, I had trouble in my life and had to depend on God, and guess what? God was so good to me, and God came to me, and God helped me, and I was even able to lay down, and I was able to go to sleep, and I woke up in the morning. Now, when you look at Psalm 3, it says that Psalm 3 was written on the occasion when David is on the run from his son Absalom, when he's trying to just stay alive, when he fled from his son Absalom, and he's just trying to stay alive. He wasn't sure if he'd wake up or not. But guess what? God woke him up, and he sang a song in the morning. That's Psalm 3. But look at Psalm number 4, if you will. Let's read it, and I think you'll get this at the very last verse, verse number 8. It's called a psalm of the evening. He said, hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. Thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. Have mercy upon me and hear my prayer. O ye sons of men, how long will you turn my glory into shame? How long will you love vanity and seek after leasing? Selah. But know that the Lord has set apart him that is godly for himself. The Lord will hear when I call unto him. Stand in awe and sin not. Commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still. Selah. Offer the sacrifices of righteousness and put your trust in the Lord. There be many that say, who will show us any good? Lord, lift thou up the light of thy countenance upon us. Thou hast put gladness in my heart more than in the time that their corn and their wine increased. I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety. Let's have a word of prayer tonight. Father, thank you, Lord, again for the evening. Thank you again for this psalm and for the words of it. And I pray now that you might just bless us with a little visit and a little time of worship and fellowship and thought of the things of God and of the goodness of God and of the wonders of the things you do for us as the children of men. We thank you for it. Thank you for salvation. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for all that you do for us. And just let us praise you and worship you and give you glory for everything that you are doing. We love you tonight, and we do praise you. And I pray you continue to deal with our hearts about lost folks that they may be saved. And we'll thank you for the salvation of them. And in Jesus' name, amen and amen. Amen. I want you to think about this, and we'll just call this how to have a good night's sleep. Amen. How to have a good night's sleep. David gives us a psalm here. It says that it is a psalm of David, and it says that it's really the chief musician on Neganoth. And generally, that word, we're not real sure absolutely about it. But the idea is this, that this is a song that is supposed to be played on a stringed instrument. And it is a song for the choir to sing. But I think more than anything, as I said, I want you to see that very last verse where he says, I'm going to lay down, and I'm going to lay down in peace and sleep. For thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety. Amen. Boy, aren't you glad God can give you a good night's sleep? I mean, sometimes we worry about that, don't we? You ever be like me, and I'm sure many of you are, wake up in the middle of the night and you try to solve the world's problems right about 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. Amen. And sometimes you ain't got them figured out by 4 o'clock. And sometimes it's 5 o'clock and you still ain't made a good dent yet, right? And I'm just telling you, there are things that will come over us and go. But aren't you glad? Hey, when God comes on the scene, when God shows himself, when God does some things, he's able to give you that good, peaceful, and restful night's sleep that we all long for and that we need to face the next day. Well, I think you look at this and you see that David is, he presents some things to us as we look at the whole psalm. And then, you know, he comes down to the end of it here, and we'll look at that. But I'm just going to lay down and take my rest. I'm going to go sleep because, God, I'm leaving it up to you. You're the only one that can help me to simply dwell and be in a place of safety. And when you think about that, hey, that is the truth. There's nothing you can do about those things. And you can lay there and toss and turn and worry and fret and, you know, do everything you can do, twist yourself in knots at night. And you still, as I say, haven't accomplished anything. But, man, God can give you some sweet rest and sweet peace. Amen? So let's look at it. Let's see how David presents this thing, how he... has enlarged me when I was in distress... mercy upon me, hear my prayer. I want you to notice that first of all. Let's talk about this. First of all, I think as David's trying to get to that place in verse number 8 of some restful night, first of all, he opens up this whole scene in the closet of prayer. Sometimes you and I just need to get into a place where we're in the closet of prayer. And if that means you got to get in a real, actual closet, go ahead and do that if that helps you. I mean, maybe find you a room, find you a place, find you a space, and just get there and begin to pray and pour your heart out to God. For some of you, it may be by your bedside. It may be in your bed. It may be a special place in your house. It may be a room. It may be an area. Whatever it may be, find you that place and begin to pray and cry out and call on God. Because, brother, you need a closet of prayer. David said, look, I've just come to a place, I've just crawled into my closet, and I'm saying, hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. Thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. Have mercy upon me and hear my prayer. Two times, at least in this prayer, David is crying out and saying, God, I need for you to hear me. I need for you to hear me. Do you realize that when you go to the closet of prayer, that's what you're there for, is to tell God some things, to pray, and to get through. And it sounds like, David, really, we don't know necessarily the issue, or if there is an issue in this prayer time, but we do know the idea need to pray, and that we need to pray in a special time and place, in the closet of prayer. You see what he's saying? First of all, just realize this, that there is a time and a place when it's just me and him. I want to have, I'll say, a private discourse between me and the Lord. Hey, can I tell you, that's a special thing. That's a blessed time when it's just you and the Lord alone, and God is hearing your prayer. I mean, here's David, and he's just laying this out before God. He's out here, and he's saying, okay, God, I need you, and I need you to hear me. You know what? Hey, I don't need you to hear me. I need him to hear me. I don't necessarily need anybody else in this entire world to hear me, and it doesn't matter, right? You know, there are places that you'll go sometimes, and we do it here sometimes, and there's just one person praying. But there are times when we come and we'll have an altar of prayer, everybody will pray, and when we do that, you know, there's some people who look around, and maybe they're not used to that kind of thing. They'll say, how can God hear all of these people praying at the same time? Trust me, honey, he can. Amen. He's God. He can hear every prayer. He understands every need. He hears every cry. He knows every note of those voices. He understands every issue, every problem, every complexity of your life. God can hear you. And David said, hey, I'm in my closet, and I'm praying, and I'm crying out, hear me, oh God, I need your help today. Amen. I mean, it is a place where you and I go and have that private discourse with God. I mean, he wanted to be heard in heaven. Don't you? Don't you? When you get ready to pray, I don't care about you hearing it, and I don't know that if I pray it and you hear it, that you can do anything about it. But I'm glad I can pray and my Father in heaven can do something about it. Amen. And that's what David is saying. He is saying, look, hear me, O God, when I call. He said, I have shut myself away. I have closed myself off. I've got into this place of a private discourse with you. But I want you to notice, he says, and here's why I'm here. Because there are some provoking distresses that are here in my life. Listen, he said, thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. Hey, do you ever have to pray because there's things? I think most of us do. When there are distresses in our life, there are some pressures, there are some pushes, there are some provocations that come into our lives that we describe as distresses. I'm distressed. I am overwrought. I am overworked. I am overwhelmed. I am hurt. I am burdened. I am carrying something. I mean, that's the way that we describe it a lot of times. It's the same thing. David said, man, there's some distress in my life. There's some things that are provoking me. They are bothering me. They are pushing on me. They are weighing down, and I need God to hear me right now. Amen. Boy, that's when you go in that closet of prayer, right? Get alone with him and say, God, here are some things that I just must lay out before you. And you know, aren't you glad you find those things throughout your Bible? I was reading here earlier this week and some the week before, and I was reading about Jacob, when Jacob gets in that famous wrestling match with that angel. Amen? And I believe that is really a theophany of Jesus Christ himself that comes on the scene and wrestles with Jacob. You ever wrestled with the Lord? I mean, I don't know that Jacob had ever wrestled with the Lord. I don't know, but can I tell you, God had already promised him some things. And God had already said, here's what's going to happen. And Jacob's like me and you. He's just having trouble believing that, I guess. And he begins to struggle. He begins, I mean, he sent his servants on ahead to, he's afraid of Esau. His brother, last time, I'll kill you. And that's still fresh. Though it had been years and years and years, that was still weighing heavily on Jacob's mind. But when that hour came and he was about, they said, hey, your brother Esau's right up here. He's coming and he's got a host of hundreds of his soldiers with him. And we don't know what you're going to do, Jacob. You know what Jacob began to do? He sent emissaries up there and said, take him some gifts. He sent sheep and he sent cows and he sent goods of all sorts. And send them out. Let them, maybe that'll calm him down. And then he decided, boy, this could be a mess. And he split his families up and he set some of them in one place and some of them in another place. And he got them all away from him. And the Bible said, and Jacob was left alone. And there wrestled with him a man until the breaking of the day. Boy, I tell you, I think it might do some of us some good to get into this place where we're provoked. A provocation in ourselves, because sometimes we think we got it all figured out. Oh, I know what to do. I know how to handle this. I know. Hey, you'll get to the place where you don't. And you're better off when you get to the place where you don't, you can't. You know what happens then? God can take over. Amen? And listen, you begin to pray and you begin to think. And here's Jacob. He's wrestling all night long. And as the day begins to break, the angel says to him, let me go, for the day breaketh. And he says, not going to let you go till you bless me. Boy, sometimes we give up too easy in prayer, don't we? We quit. We say, okay, Lord, I give up. Boy, I'm telling you, Jacob said, nope, I'm hanging on. You know what the Lord did? The Lord reached in and touched him in the thigh, and he dislocated his hip bone. He said, I don't care. I may have to limp around for the rest of my life, but I ain't letting go till you do something for me. And the Lord looked at him and said, well, what's your name? Isn't that a crazy question? What was that all about? The Lord knew what his name was. And you know what his name was? Jacob. Well, you know what that means. Trickster. Deceiver. He is, really, the Bible tells us that he was a supplanter. In other words, he won't try to get ahead however he could, by hook or by crook, as we say. That's who he was. And God said, let me hear you say that. And he told him, my name's Jacob. And God said, nope, changing your name, not anymore. He said, it's now going to be called Israel, because as a prince, thou hast power with God. And God changed his name after he wrestled all night. Can God change some stuff for you if you'll just wrestle with him all night in prayer sometime? Do you believe he can? Amen. Shake your head. Yeah, I believe he can, preacher. Hey, sometimes you and I need to try it. Amen. But I'm just telling you, hey, David is here in this place. And there is a provoking distress in his life. Something's got to happen, just like it did for Jacob. David said, something's got to happen to me. And I'm glad God's still able to do those things. Amen? And listen, he says, there is a distress in my life. It is provoking me. But don't you notice, he said, but I also realize I've got some proven deliverance that has happened in my life. Listen to what he said. He said, hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. Thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. Have mercy upon me and hear my prayer. David said, look, there were some times that I was in distress, and you've heard me before. And I know there are some proven deliverances that have happened in my life. Can I tell you, look back in your life and see, just like I said, when God put you in that place where you had to lean on him, where your faith had to be tested, and you've seen him come through, can't you say, I've seen him work in my life before, and I want to see him work again today. Amen? I want to see what God can do in my life today. I like it. We used to have folks years ago come to church and they'd say, I just can't wait to see what God's going to do today. Amen? That's the way we ought to walk in the church house. I don't know what God's going to do, but I can't wait to see Him do it. He's going to let somebody stand up and sing. He's going to let somebody praise. He's going to let somebody testify. He's going to let that preacher loose and preach. He's going to let that choir just roar and sing and bless God. Hey, that's what we ought to be doing. I can't wait to see what God's going to do. Amen? And that's just what David says. I have seen Him do these things. It's a proven deliverance. I've seen Him do that. And he said, and all I can say is I'm desiring His mercies again. You see what he said? Have mercy upon me and hear my prayer. Amen. Oh, don't give up, saint. Don't give up. Get in that closet of prayer and God can hear you. Now, I want to tell you a second thing on this, that as you look at those next few verses, a reason why you need that closet of prayer to get that good night's sleep is because there are those times when you'll be like David was and you'll run into the concourse of the public. There's a concourse. I'm talking about an area that's big and wide in public view, and you're going to run into some things when you get out there. Listen to what he said. Oh, ye sons of men, how long will you turn my glory into shame? How long will you love vanity and seek after leasing? Selah. He said, but know that the Lord has set him apart that is godly for himself. The Lord will hear when I call unto him. Stand in awe and sin not. Commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still. Offer the sacrifices of righteousness and put your trust in the Lord. Amen. David said, there are some times, and there's some sweet seasons that you get into your closet of prayer, and it's just you and him talking. But you know what? Eventually, you've got to get out of that closet and go out into the concourses of the public in this world. You're going to be out in the ways and the areas where men are. And David said, when I get out there, you know what I find? He said, well, I got some trouble when I get out there. He said, I find that I run into a place of conflict. I run into a place of contemptible people. I run into a place where it's all contention and fighting and fussing. And look what he said. Oh, ye sons of men, how long will you turn my glory into shame? He said, people talk about me. I get out there in the public and they're talking about me. And they're talking about my God and about my belief and about my trust and even about my prayer closet. And they're trying to shame me for those things. He said, how long will you love vanity? Oh, he said, they're full of emptiness, empty words and empty thoughts and vain lives. And he said, and leasing, that word leasing is really just a kind of a old English fancy term for lies. How long y'all going to tell lies on me? Anybody ever lied about you? About who you was and what you was and why you was doing what you do? I mean, I've heard people tell stories about me before, and I thought, man, that's interesting. I never heard that. I didn't know what that was. Amen. I mean, where'd that come from? Boy, they'll lie about you. They'll talk about you. And that's what you're going to face out here in the concourse of public areas. And David said, here I am. I'm out here amongst all this. And he said, I'm facing the depravity of those that are against me. You've got some foes. And you'll face the depravity of those foes when you go out in public. How do you know God's real? Why, what do y'all do down at that church? Why do you sing those songs? Why do y'all act so silly? Why does that preacher preach so loud? Why do you people get up and shout and praise God and testify? Carol, why do y'all do that? Amen. Hey, you're going to face some of that stuff. Yeah, maybe not that loud and in your face, but sometimes they may look at you with a puzzled look and say, you really believe that? You say, I want to stand on the old Bible. You mean you really believe that old antiquated book? Why, it's out of date and it was written years ago and it don't mean nothing. Oh, I'm going to stand for the Word of God. Amen? Huh? You've got some foes out there. You've got some depraved thinkers that are out in this world. And, buddy, they'd like nothing better than to see you fall flat on your face. They'd love to see the church stumble and fall. They'd love to see this thing fall apart. They'd love to see what they're thinking of in the term of religion just go to pieces. But can I tell you, thank God, they're wrong. Amen. They're wrong. It will not happen. There's the depravity of the foes. But aren't you glad of this? There is the distinction of having a faithful God. You and I, we've got plenty of foes, but aren't you glad? Listen to what he says. He says, look, how long are you folks going to be like this? How you going to turn my glory into shame? How long will you love that vanity, that empty thing, that weird ball stuff that you've got in your head of this world and seek after leasing? He said, but I want you to know something, but know that the Lord God has set apart him that is godly for himself. The Lord will hear when I call unto him. Amen. Aren't you glad you've got a God that is distinct and different from the things that this world believes? I've got a faithful God that's going to hear me when I pray to him. Amen? Listen to what he says. Look, he said, I want you to know, God's setting apart the godly for himself. Now, that means you and I are separated from the things and the thinking of this world. We should be. And in that separation, he says, God is ready to keep you in a different way. He is faithful to you. He said, he will hear when I call unto him. He says, stand in awe and sin not. Commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still. You've got somebody that's faithful and will remain faithful and true to you. Amen? Boy, aren't you glad you got a faithful God? Amen? Hey, the Bible tells us that he is ever faithful. The Bible says he cannot lie. God will not lie about anything. Whatever he says is true. Whatever he says is eternal. Whatever he says stands when everything else around is falling. Amen? Now, I will tell you this, sometimes, like we were talking about this morning, I don't understand it all. I don't get it, but I can tell you this. Oh, listen, praise God. Hey, well, all I can do is just trust him. Amen? I don't understand it all like I'd like to, but I can believe that he's got everything under his control. Well, what's our duty then, preacher? Let's look at that. You see the distinction of the faithful God toward us, but don't you notice the duty of our faith toward him. He says, look, here's what you're supposed to do. Stand in awe. Sin not. Commune with your own heart upon your bed. Be still. Offer the sacrifices of righteousness and put your trust in the Lord. That's what me and you're supposed to do. We've got a duty toward him. You're going to stand out in this public, and you know what you need to do? You need to just stand. Amen? I mean, the Bible talks about over in the book of Ephesians, chapter number 6, it's the book that talks about having on the whole armor of God as you're plated up with the entire armor of God. And Paul says this, he said, and having done all, he said, stand. Amen? You're supposed to stand when you can't do nothing. You say, preacher, they're beating me. Just go ahead and stand. Oh, preacher, they're after me. Go ahead and stand. Preacher, they're talking about me. Go ahead and stand anyway. Just stand. Amen? And you know what God does? God said, wait a minute, I got something for you to wear while you're standing. He's got the entirety of the armor of God. He's going to give you a belt of truth to put on, a breastplate of righteousness, a helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit. I mean, buddy, he's got some shoes of peace. He's got some stuff to clothe me and you with. And you know, it'll help you to stand, amen. It'll help you to stand. Just go ahead and stand. I mean, this is our duty. Really, we should count it our privilege to stand for the living God and realize, oh, listen, this is the duty of me and you in our faith. Stand in awe. Sin not. Commune with your own heart upon your bed. I want to tell you, sometimes you don't want to talk to some of them. Commune with your own heart. Say, God, talk to my heart. God, just ease my heart. God, just speak to my heart. Just come down, bring some peace. Pour out some stuff on my heart. Amen. You know why? Because what I said a few minutes ago, You wake up 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, and you're trying to solve everything and all them pressures and all them problems and all them things they said and what they're talking about and how they downed you and how they don't believe what you believe. Hey, all of that away. You know what you need to do? God, just settle me down right in here. Just speak to my heart and let me have that peace that you've got. Amen? Listen to what he says here in the very last part of this. He has been there in the closet of prayer, and that's a good place to be. He's walked out in the concourse of the public, and he's heard the comments, and he's just stood for God. But look at this last part, if you will, as you get into verses 6, 7, and 8. And listen to what David says. He said, "There be many that say, who will show us any good? Lord, lift thou up the light of thy countenance upon us." You know, you got some folks out there, and they're going to talk. And it ain't going to be good. He says, "Look, thou hast put gladness in my heart, more than in the time that their corn and their wine increased. I will both lay me down in peace and sleep. For thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety." That's the way he ends this psalm. But you see where he ends it? As I say, we've been in the closet of prayer. We've been on the concourse of the public. But now as he closes it out, we wind up in the chamber of peace. He's gone from the closet. He's gone from the outside. But then he's come in and he said, "You know what? I'm going to go into my chamber where the peace is." Amen? You know what that is? I mean, really, you can almost see it that he's talking about his bedroom. He's talking about the place where he goes to find the sweet rest that he needs. And he says, "I'm going in to my chamber, and in my chamber I'm going to find some peace." Amen. Listen to what he says. First of all, in verse number 6, he said, "There be many that say, who will show us any good? Lord, lift thou up the light of thy countenance upon us." You know what he's talking about? He's talking about that there are some out there that have the gloom in their life where there is no joy. There's some folks that said, "Well, David, preacher," he said, "there's a lot of them that's going to say, who's going to show up? Who's going to do anything good for us? Oh, we just wish that the Lord would just do something, show a little light to us." And you know what? They have no joy in their lives. You see people like that? They walk around. I've told people this for years. We used to have a lady that came in the pharmacy where I worked, and she would come in pretty early in the morning, usually when she came in. And she would come in, and I don't know, she just had one of those attitudes. Amen. Y'all know anybody that's got some attitudes? Say amen right there. Well, anyway, she'd come in, and we was all a happy bunch. We'd say, "Good morning. How you doing, Miss So-and-so?" And we'd say, "Good morning." And she'd say, "What's so good about it?" Amen? Y'all know any of them? "What's so good about it?" I mean, there's some folks that says, "Who's going to do anything good for us? I mean, is there anything good going to come our way? I mean, Lord, if you can, if there's any way, please do so." I mean, we can't see. There is no joy in their hearts. Oh, let me tell you, friend, listen, we've got a world full of those sad sacks, haven't we? I mean, there's just no joy in their life. They're stumbling, they're mumbling, they're grumbling, they're blurbling, they're just carrying on in this life in some awful way. And, oh, what are we going to do? And look, it's so bad and it's getting worse and ain't never going to be no better. What are we going to do? Amen? That's what many in the world are doing. I mean, David said, "Look, who's going to show us any good? Is there anybody? Is God ever going to do anything? If you believe in God, what's all of this mess going on in this world for anyway?" Can I tell you something? That's a sad way to look at life. I mean, you want to get your mind there, you can. And you'll dwell there. And I'll guarantee you, there won't be anything good come your way. Because you'll pick it to pieces so much, you'll question and doubt. You ever see anybody do that? You can say something simple like, how are you? Well, what do you mean by that? What do you think he was trying to say there? Well, hello. I mean, that's all he was trying to say. But there's some people, they try to dig down into the dirt. They try to go underneath the surface. There's a secret meaning. And I've known people all my life. And I'm telling you, you know what? No joy. There's a gloom in their life, but there's no joy. Because they're always looking for the worst, for the negative, the possibility of what's wrong here. I mean, they're always looking for that. The gloom of those with no joy. But listen what David says. Look in verse number 7. He said, thou. See, there's the secret. God, thou hast put gladness in my heart, more than in the time that their corn and their wine increased. In the days that they lived, the agrarian society, they rejoiced when there was a crop that came in, when the grapes came in, when the corn, when the grain, when those things came in. They had a rejoicing time. If you'll remember, go over to the book of Ruth again and read, and you'll see in chapter number 3 that Boaz has thrashed the barley, and they have piled it up, and he's got a pile of that, and they've been dancing and laughing and having a big time. God's blessed them, and there's a big party over the hall that they had at the time of harvest. And harvest times were rejoicing times. God instructed them to have some celebrations and some feasts because of the feast of the harvest. They were supposed to do that. But listen to what David said here. He said, hey, y'all think y'all have a good time when the crop comes in? He said, God has put gladness in my heart more than when they party over the crop that's coming. He said, God's put a continual joy in my heart. Amen. He said, the gladness of the joy that I can have because He's put it there. Amen. What I'm saying is this, you stick with the world and the things of the world, and you wander around, and you get all down and out and gloomy and sad and upset and worried and problemed by, you're going to have the no joy, gloomy days. But David said, you want some gladness? Let God put some in there. Amen? Why, it's just as simple as what them little kids sing, isn't it? I've got the joy, 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 joy. Down in my heart. Where? Down in my heart. Where? Down in my heart. I got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. And it's down in my heart to stay. Amen? I mean, it's that simple right there. God puts that joy in you. And nobody else can do it like Him. I mean, you can have successes and you can have things and you can have accomplishments in this life. But the real joy comes when the thou that David speaks of, which is God, when God pours that joy in there. Oh, let me tell you, He pours the joy on the inside of you. And when you got that, it is a gladness. It brings a gladness. It brings a glory. It brings an exuberance that nobody else will understand. You walk around and people say, well, what are you smiling about? What are you so happy for? I'm saved. Amen? I'm just saved. What do you mean you're saved? God's erased my sin debt. Amen? You know what the songwriter says in one of these songs that we sing? You ask me why I'm happy. And I'll just tell you why. Because my sins are gone. Amen? Woo! I'm here to tell you, thank God, He's put a joy down on the inside of us. And Jesus said, these things have I spoken unto you, that your joy might be full. Are you full of joy? Are you full of gloom? Amen? we used to have a fella that was a missionary from the first church I pastored. He's a missionary, and he's from Sand Mountain. So, all right, enough said right there. But, I mean, he's just a good old country boy, and I mean, he's a blessing, really. And he said his wife gave him a shopping list to go to the grocery store. He said, I didn't pay any attention to it. He said, I got to the grocery store, pulled out, this back in the day before these cell phones and all that. He said, paper list. He had that paper list. He said, it's folded up. He said, I unfolded it. He said, you know what the first thing on the list was? It said, shout. He said, so I just shouted. He said, I was in the grocery store. Glory to God. Hallelujah. He said, it said, shout. So I just started shouting. He said, you know what the next thing on my list was? She wants some rug cleaner. There used to be one. There still. It was called Glory. He said, I was saying Glory for a while. Glory, glory, glory. He said, you know what the third thing on the list was? Some of y'all may still get it. It was Joy Dishwash. It said Joy. He said, woo, Joy, Joy, Joy. Amen. In the Lord. He said, they're looking at me like I was about half crazy. But he said, that's what the list said, so that's what I did. Amen. So some of you ladies, hey, we might have to make out some lists, pass them out to church, see how that works. But I'm just telling you, hey, we should have that gladness of the joy that God can only put. That's what he said. Thou hast put gladness in my heart. God's done it. It's not what the world has. Because I can tell you this, that'll wear off. That may go away. That may run empty. Your bank account may run down. Your house may be gone. Your job may fail. But thank God you have some gladness that God has given you. And nobody can take that away. Amen? Oh, let me tell you. We'd be like Job. Job said, the Lord hath given and the Lord taketh away. And he said, blessed be the name of the Lord. That's where your joy ought to be. Look at this very last thing. He's talking about going to sleep. And he says, I will both lay me down in peace and sleep. For thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety. I'll tell you, in that chamber of peace, he'd put out all them that had the gloom of no joy. He had the gladness that was brought by the joy of the Lord. But he also knew that he had the guarding of his heart by the one that he had joined himself to. Amen. The one that he said, look, God, he said, I'm going to lay down and sleep for thou, Lord. He said, I can lay down and sleep, lay down in peace, sleep all night, because the Lord is the only one that can make me to dwell in safety. As I said in Psalm 3, David's running for his life. Absalom, his son, is after him. Absalom's trying to kill him. And David lays down. You see that there in Psalm number 3. In verse number 5, he said, I laid me down and I slept. And then it's almost like he's surprised. And he said, I awaked, for the Lord sustained me. He said, I didn't know if I was going to wake up or not. I didn't know if Absalom would come and kill me in my sleep. I didn't know what was... He said, but the Lord sustained me. But you see what he says here? Same thing. It's God that makes me dwell in safety in Him. God has guarded me through the night while I was sleeping, David said. And I got some of that peaceful, restful, joyous sleep that only He can give. Amen? Somebody said the other day, you sleep like a baby. Sleep for 2 hours and wake up and cry 2 hours. Amen? That's the way babies do it, isn't it? But you and I ought to be able to just lay down and say, God, I'm so thankful you're guarding me. So thankful you're watching over. And I want you to watch over my whole household. I want you to give us that sweet, peaceful rest that only comes from having myself joined to the God. Only He's the only one that can let you dwell in a place of safety. You don't know. Anybody in here, you can guarantee me you're going to wake up in the morning? You don't know that, do you? You don't know what's going to happen when you get out of these doors. You don't know what's going to happen before you get home. You don't know what's going to happen during the night. Amen? You don't know. I don't know. None of us know. But can I tell you this? I was thinking about the other day we got a message from some folks, and I think I told you Wednesday night, a good friend of ours that we've known from the Heritage Funeral Home. Dwayne Gravely passed away, 46 years old. 46. And I'm like, no, something, that ain't right. Maybe he's had something happen. But he died. And I don't know if that was Tuesday night, but whatever it was. But he passed away. And I'm thinking, wow. And you know, I love Brother Dwayne. The only thing I didn't like about him was he was a New York Met fan. That's what I told him. He said, yeah, you and your Braves. He said, yeah. Well, I mean, we had fun over that. We kidded a lot. But, man, it was a shock. But you know what? I believe he went through that, whatever. I mean, it was a heart attack as far as they understood that he passed away. But can I tell you, he woke up in perfect peace and safety in the presence of the Lord. Now, I know it's going to be hard for his wife, Shelly, and their three children, but I sure am glad God can help them to rest and dwell in safety while he watches over them. How can you be sure of that, preacher? Because, man, that's the only thing I can be sure of, is that God is the one that gives us that peace, gives us that rest, and gives us that safety. Amen? Amen. Or I don't know if you got it tonight, but you need it. If you don't, come on, let's. Maybe there's something that you need to come pray about, someone you need to pray for. I don't know. But just think about that. David said, man, the only place that I can find it, safety, peace, and rest, is in the Lord. I think there was an old song that I'd heard at one time.